Last week, Apostle and Pastor Bob Muncy was with us, and he was sharing with us about centering our thoughts each day on what we can be grateful for. Remember that? And he was saying that you can choose where your mind goes each day. So you can pick a negative thing and run with that all day, or you can pick something that you appreciate and you're grateful for and run with that all day. And so I just wanted to take a minute to give some of you a chance to just, and we're going to do this quickly, so I'm not going to draw it out. If you have something that you're thankful for that you want to concentrate on as you leave here today, just quickly pop up and say, I'm thankful for, and then we'll be encouraged as we all hear some things we're thankful for. Somebody start. All righty. Okay. Uh-huh. Wonderful. Okay. Thankful. Yes, thankful. Amen. Amen. Who else is thankful for something? Yay. Yay. Someone else? Yay. Someone else? Something you're thankful for? Goodness, grace, and grandchildren. Yep, yep. That sounds like a good list. Somebody else? Something you're thankful for?
I'm thankful for the election and our ability to influence it through prayer and an empowering of the body of Christ that I sense to know that the Christ teaches things and actually direct history.
Amen. Thank you, thank you. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. For sure, for sure. Uh-huh, Max. Yep, gotcha. Yay. Mm-hmm. Yay! Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome. Yay! Wonderful. Wonderful.
I'm thankful for a job that I enjoy so much that I look forward to.
Well, yay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. See, I knew once you got warmed up. One or two more, because we want to keep going. Uh-huh.
I'm thankful for a husband who loves the Lord and the opportunity that God gives us to have a Bible study in our home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a neighborhood Bible
mm-hmm.
study.
Mm-hmm. Yay. Yay. One more. Uh-huh. Viola. Yay, yay. All righty. So when we're going to switch gears here a little bit. So when you hear the term your honor, who comes to mind? A judge. Okay. Yep. Your honor. How about the honorable president? Okay. I don't know if you've ever seen the Senate. You realize you can say something out of your mouth that sounds respectful, but it's not at all. They'll say, so the honorable senator on the other side of the aisle, and then they'll go on and say why they disagreed with their colleagues. I'm like, that didn't sound like you were honoring that person. So today we're talking about honor. We're going to start with a few things that we can learn from the Old Testament. And that word in the Old Testament is weighty, glorious, and great. The word honor means to increase in value. That means that it becomes valuable to you. It's considering the person worthy of honor and respect. Recognizing what he or she adds to your life. See, remember, it's weighty. It's actually kabod, and it's also used to talk about God's glory. You know, his glory has weight to it. Well, this word honor, these people add something to your life, and that's why you're to honor them. The first one that came to mind is from Exodus 20. Honor your father and honor your mother. That wasn't a suggestion. If you remember, it was part of the Ten Commandments. And it is also the only one that has a promised result. Does anybody remember the promised result? Honor your mother and father, and your days will be prolonged. Absolutely. That sounds like a good trade, doesn't it? You honor, your life gets extended. In 1 Samuel 2, God said, "Those who honor me, I will honor." So obviously, honor is important to God. In 1 Corinthians 29, it tells us where honor comes from. I'm not quoting it. I'm just telling you what we learned from it, and you can look up that on your own. God is the source of honor, is what we learn there. When we choose to honor someone, we are recognizing the honor that God placed on them. We are recognizing the honor that God placed on them. So if you think about that, then, when we dishonor somebody, who are we ultimately dishonoring? Ouch. When we honor, we are recognizing what God has placed on them. And so when we dishonor, we're actually dishonoring God. So obviously, the first and foremost person deserving honor is God. Throughout Psalms and Proverbs, you can just read it over and over and over again. It tells us to honor God, to sing of his greatness, and to honor him. In Isaiah 29, God warns us of honoring with words only and not from the heart. So I want to read that, two different translations. Isaiah 29. The Lord said, "Because these people draw near to me only with words and honor me only with lip service, their hearts are far from me. And their reverence for me is only tradition without any meaning." So we need to be very careful when we're honoring that we're doing it with more than just words out of our mouth, that we actually mean it. In the Message, it says it like this. These people make a big show of saying the right thing, but their hearts aren't in it. They act like they're worshiping me, but they don't mean it. I'm going to step in and shock them awake, astonish them, and stand them on their ears. I don't know that expression, but okay. And if I did, I wouldn't have said it right anyway, because I combined two expressions, and my kids are like, "Dad, that makes no sense. That's not how the expression goes." And stand them on their ears. We have to do more than just honor with our words. It has to be from the heart. Okay, so what did we talk about just in the last couple minutes? We need to honor those who God honors. Really honor, not just for show. When we don't do that, we dishonor God. Who else are we told to honor? Well, so far we looked at honoring God, giving him the respect he is due, recognizing his glory and his greatness, and our earthly fathers and mothers. Jesus taught us that we need to honor those serving in offices that God called them to. So I want to tell you a little story. Jesus, of course you knew, he grew up in Galilee, in Nazareth, and he got led, after his water baptism, he got led into the wilderness. Yay, we all love being in the wilderness, right? But often that's where we have a powerful encounter with God. Because all of a sudden, all the other things going on in our life are less important because we have to figure out, how do I get out of this wilderness? So Jesus was in the wilderness. You know, he was tempted by the enemy. He made the right choices. He said the right things. And it says he left the wilderness empowered by the Holy Spirit. He went in one way, came out another way. So once he came out of the wilderness, it said he went from village to village teaching them and going into the synagogues. So my understanding is that when you went to the synagogue, first the men and the women weren't together, and it was usually only the rabbis that spoke. But if you were a leading man in the community, you know, if you owned half the community, you of course were able to speak also. So for some reason, the synagogue officials recognized something about Jesus. Okay, Jesus was not well known. He was not wealthy. But Jesus would go into these synagogues, and you stood up if you were willing to read. And it says that, you know, he would go into these synagogues, and he would teach them. It also said that his teachings were accompanied by power. That means he did miracles. So far, up until this point that I'm getting ready to talk about, he had healed the synagogue official's daughter, and the woman with the issue of blood had touched him and received healing. So the news about him was starting to get around. And he goes back to his hometown. And at first, they're really excited he's there. You know, it's like the sports hero and his hometown, or the America's Got Talent contestant, and you see how they're welcomed back home with parades and, you know, all kinds of things that are done to welcome them back home. So his town folk were pretty happy to have him come back because he's somewhat of a celebrity now. Well, he comes in, stands up in the synagogue. They hand him the scroll of Isaiah. He opens it up and he says, "So the Spirit of the Lord is now upon me." And he talks about setting captives free. He talks about healing the blind. He talks about proclaiming the word of God. And he folds it back up and he hands it to the official. And then he says, "Today this is fulfilled in your sight." In other words, that was talking about me. Well, all of a sudden, they're like, who does he think he is? You know, he grew up five houses from Keck's store. So, you know, and don't we know his mother and his father? And he has these brothers and he has these sisters and we know all of them. Exactly who does he think he is? So they failed to recognize God's giftings and callings on his life. And Jesus made a very interesting statement. A prophet receives honor everywhere except in his hometown. So we need to see in people what God has done and what God is doing. What we don't need to focus on is what they were like in the past or the mistakes that they made. Yeah, I know. That was just a bucket load of stuff. I'm going to let that sit for a minute. I'm going to come back to it, but I'm going to let it sit for a minute. The word honor in the New Testament has a little bit different meaning than the word honor in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it means to value, to esteem, to consider precious. That's what honor means. So just as the scripture tells us that just as our bodies have many parts, so does the body of Christ. So does the family of believers here at Christian Life Community Church. It says we are part of the same body, each with a different function. If God has given you the ability to prophesy, then speak out. If your gift is serving, serve others well. If you're a teacher, be good at it. If your gift is to encourage, be encouraging. Yay, we all need some of those, right? If you're an encourager, let us know. That's who we want to talk to. If your gift or your function or your part in the body is giving, give generously. If you're gifted to be a leader, take that responsibility seriously. If showing kindness, do it gladly. Don't pretend to love others. Really love them. Love each other. Now listen to these next two phrases. And this is Romans 12. Romans 12. Love each other and take delight in honoring each other. Take delight. What does take delight in? Okay? I take delight in eating pumpkin pie and vanilla ice cream. Yay! No, vanilla ice cream is better, but okay. Cool Whip's pretty good. So what do you take delight in? What brings you joy? So think of something. The scripture tells us that we are to take delight. We are to enjoy honoring one another. Listen to the final part of this. Even outdo one another in showing honor. Wow. So Frank is pretty honoring, but I'm going to be better at it than him. See? That's what it's telling us. So this means that each person in this room, each person is a gift to me and a gift to this body. Nobody's excluded. And if I look, I can recognize the value or the preciousness of that gift to me and to this body. But just like I have to choose to think about things I'm grateful for and appreciate, I have to choose to look at what God has done and is doing in each of you. So that got me thinking about, okay, so what's that look like in the Old Testament and the New Testament? And I was sure I had read this one list before, so I had to dig around in Google to find it, but I came across this other shorter one, which I also thought was interesting. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. So when you're called to be whatever gift you are in this body, you're not perfect yet. God is going to keep working on you. Did you know? Abraham was too old. Sarah laughed at God's promises. Moses stuttered and questioned God's judgment. He killed a person. David's armor didn't fit. He was too small. He was too young. He killed a man and had an affair. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Amos's training to be a prophet was knowing how to prune fig trees. Jacob was a liar. I like this next one. Lazarus was dead. John was self-righteous. Paul had spent his life murdering Christians. Jeremiah had a tendency to be depressed and was suicidal. Samson didn't dress up and had long hair. And Noah got drunk. So see, we can always find, if that's what you're looking for, we can always find the flaws in each other. and we can make that be what we concentrate on. Boy, that person really has a problem with blah, 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 blah. We're really great at that. But it takes effort to look at somebody and say, what precious thing has God done in them and is currently doing, and then choose to respect and honor them for that. Okay, now here's the longer list. And this is author unknown, so I don't have to credit anybody. This one was Mike L. French, Flaws of Famous Biblical Characters. So I did not come up with that list, so you can find him on Google. But this one is author unknown. This is the list that's been out for a while. Some of it's the same, some of it's different. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Okay, I'm just reading the list, folks. Okay, Joseph was abused. God still used every one of these. Moses stuttered. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were very young. David was a murderer and an adulterer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. I'm not going to touch that one. Jonah ran. Thanks. Jonah ran from God, didn't he, Van? We saw Jonah running from God in the children's message as he flew through the sanctuary the other week. Naomi was a widow. Job was bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep when they were supposed to be praying. Martha, she worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced. Zacchaeus was too small. Yay, I'm on the list. Paul was too religious. Timothy probably had an ulcer. And again, Lazarus was dead. So if God can use all of those, and maybe you saw yourself somewhere on that list, he certainly can use you. Who else are we instructed to honor? 1 Timothy gives us two different people. Honor widows, which I think we do a great job here. And it says elders who do their work well should receive double honor. I'm not sure what double honor looks like, but we could work on that one. 1 Peter says, honor all who have authority over you. Ooh, okay, so think about who that is. Everybody who has authority over you. It doesn't say, and who's a Republican, or who you agree with their policies. Does it? It doesn't say that. So who has authority over you? Honor all who have authority over you. Husbands are told to grant their wives honor as fellow heirs of the grace of life. Not because us guys are better. It says we're fellow heirs. We both are inheriting the same thing. So we should be honoring our wives. Now, wives, with most guys, it doesn't work real well to say, you're not honoring me, you better start doing it. But you can do what my wife did for a number of years and probably still does. She said to me one time, she said, it doesn't always work trying to convince you, so I pray to God and tell him to convince you. I'm like, that's unfair. Stop it. Yeah. And this one, instead of a promise, has a consequence. It says if husbands don't honor their wives, who knows, their prayers will be hindered. And that word means uncompleted. So it sounds to me like God is saying that the call got dropped? In other words, I'm praying, Lord, I need this, and I need help with that, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. And he's like, can you hear me now? I'm having trouble hearing you because I'm hearing your wife say, do something with that guy. He's not treating me right. And God is hearing their prayers over ours. That's what the unhindered means. So guys, if you don't want your prayers hindered, the call to be dropped, there to be static on the line, yeah. Okay, you got that, gentlemen? All the ladies are going, yay, yay, and the guys are going, just wait till I talk to Pastor Steve. He has no idea. Yeah, okay, okay. All right. So then the final thing there says, give or hand over or pay to everyone what you owe them. Taxes, to whom taxes are due. Yay. Respect, to whom respect is due. Honor, to who honors. That's pretty clear. That he expects us to pay what we owe to every person. Okay, that's a good, I'm not very good at pauses, but I've been noticing that when other people preach, when they pause, that gives me a minute for my mind to catch up. So I'm giving you a minute for your mind to catch up. Honor to who honor is due, respect to who respect is due. It goes on to say in Romans 13, owe nothing. Don't hold back. You are indebted to others. Pay everything in full except loving one another. So I read that like 10 times. I'm like, what? Yeah, see? So then I realized, you see, sometimes it helps to look in other translations. That is saying the debt of love that we owe to each other can never be fully paid. But you need to keep working on it. Okay? How many of you know, and I work 2 days a week in a credit union, so I can say, yep, and I've had loans, that if you don't make your minimum payment, that baby climbs. Because now you're not paying the interest, and you're not taking anything off the principal, and so you started with this debt, and now the debt keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that if you only pay the minimum, okay, if you have a credit card with a 12% interest or something, and you only pay the minimum, you're going to be paying on that debt for 20 years. So, my suggestion is, if you owe people honor, start paying it. You owe people respect. Start doing it. And especially since the debt of love can never be paid in full, we can always be working on that debt. Always. All right. So drawing this to a close. Thinking back, and the older I get, the harder it is to think back further, which really irritates me, because I used to remember a lot of things that I don't anymore. And that is frustrating. So as far back as you want to go, last week, okay, who in the last week, oh, we're going to go a little further than that, the last month, the last year, okay, let's try that. I don't want to burn out any circuits this morning. So over the last week, the last month, and the last year, who have you shown honor and respect to? Now, I'm not expecting you to raise your hands or to yell it out. So I'm going to pause a minute and give you a chance to think about that. So who have I honored and who have I respected over the last week, last month, last year? Okay. Did a couple people come to mind that you honored and respected? You're not going to like this one. Who have you disrespected and dishonored over the last week, month, and year? You. And just to remind you that you only hear this once, but I prepared this sermon 2 weeks ago because I was supposed to preach last week and then I exchanged with Bob because he was coming up here anyway. Okay, so here's the question. If you've thought of somebody in the who have I disrespected and dishonored in the last year, how can I correct that? Because if these are debts that we owe, and God expects us to pay these debts, if we actually ran up a pretty large debt of disrespect or dishonor, then what is it going to take to have that changed to the positive? A lot of showing respect and honor and love. Right? So this large debt I have at the bank, I have, and you have, right? Okay, let me just think how I want to say this. Don't we have a unending supply of honor, respect, and love? In other words, I don't have just 25 cents worth of honor, and if I spend it, I have no more. I can always decide to give more. So it's like I can go to the bank and I can say, yeah, I know I have this large debt and I want to pay $5,000 toward. So if we've dishonored or disrespected, then we can choose to put a nice large payment on that debt and get those things cleared up. And my final point is, let's remember that we said back at the beginning that God expects these debts to be paid with more than just words. They need to be paid from the heart. So that might mean in more than one situation, we have to go to God and say, oh boy, you wanted me to honor and instead I dishonored. So I need you to forgive me and place within me the honor and the respect and the love that I need so that you can give it from the heart and not just from words. All right, wow. I've just really made everybody very somber, didn't I? All right, so let's shift that a little bit. God never condemns, right? That's the enemy that condemns. God convicts so that we can change and be more like him. So today, I want you to hear this from him as a, hey, you want to be more like me? Here's some ways you can do that. Not, you did terrible, 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 and now I'm going to whack you all week. Okay? That is not my God or your God. That's the enemy. The enemy brings condemnation so that you feel like a failure. The Lord brings conviction and correction because you're a son and a daughter who really wants to be more like him. Amen? All right. So let's stand, and we're going to pray. And then if some of our altar workers will come up at the end in case some folks want personal ministry today. So, Father, we are so thankful today that you showed up during worship, encouraged us and strengthened us. Holy Spirit, that you came with fresh rain. You came to renew us and restore us. And Jesus, we're so thankful that you enjoy spending time with us. You said that you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And so you enjoy being with us, and you want us to enjoy being with you. So thank you, Jesus, for spending time with us today as we gathered. And Father, as you spoke this word, which is somewhat serious because you told us that we needed to honor, and you gave us a list of who we needed to honor, and you told us that if we didn't honor them, that we were not only dishonoring them, but we're dishonoring you. So Father, we want to start by getting things right with you. So we say, Father, forgive us. So I'm going to make it personal. Father, forgive me. Forgive me for dishonoring anyone that you were expecting me to honor. Forgive me for dishonoring you and not recognizing you and your work within these people. Forgive me for finding and concentrating on their flaws, on their weaknesses, on their past mistakes, instead of focusing on the gift that they are to me and the gift that they are to Christian Life Community Church. Help me to change my focus, that I would seek after the gold that you've deposited in each one. Your presence in each other. The work that you're doing in those people. And that I would consider that precious to me, valuable to me. And that I would be thankful for the gift that they are to my life. And choose to show them the honor and the respect that you would desire me to. And then to lavish love, generously love, because that's a debt that can never be completely paid, to love one another and to love you. You said that those two are the fulfillment of everything on your heart that was written in the Old Testament and the New Testament. To love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, every part of us pouring out love on you. And to love our neighbor as ourselves. So Father, as we close today, we just choose to express our love to you. We love you today, Father. We love you today, Father. We love you today, Father. And we're so grateful that you so loved us that you sent Jesus. We're so thankful that you first loved us when we were enemies. You first loved us when we were so far away. You first loved us when we were wayward sons and wayward daughters. But you looked forward to the day that we would come home. We love you today, Father. And we are so grateful for all that you've done. So grateful for your faithfulness on a daily basis. So grateful for your provision, for strengthening us, for healing us, for restoring us, for providing for us, for our friends and for our families. We want to be a grateful people. And the family of God said, Amen, amen. All right.